Hello Ramblings magazine reader. Welcome. This is a podcast of the 17th issue of Ramblings magazine. The headings are The Wind and the House. No Olympics. I am doing it now. Thinking about end of life. The joy of simple moments. I have no desire to be someone else. The edge of nightmares. I do not have a book. Why you should celebrate your true self. Finding freedom, the power of being yourself. Lessons learned from high school driving experience. Experience delicious meals at Dee's Cafe. Purpose of life. AI and the tax man. Time after death. The forgotten letter. The evolution of time.
The wind and the house. The wind howled through the empty house, whispering Tom in the dark. I stood at the threshold of the old Schuler estate, my breath fogging in the frigid night air, my flashlight trembling in my hand. It was a dare from my friends Jack, Mike, and Florence because they knew I couldn't resist proving them wrong. They'd spent weeks spinning tales about this place, how the Schuler family vanished in 73, how neighbors swore they heard screams years after, how the house sat untouched, rotting on the edge of town like a festering mound. It's just a creepy old dump, I'd said, smirking, but now, with the warped door creaking open under my push, my bravado felt thin as the mist curling around my ankles. Inside, the air was stale, heavy with dust and something sour I couldn't place. My flashlight beam swept over peeling wallpaper, furniture draped in moldy sheets, and a grandfather clock frozen at 3:17, its pendulum dangling like a broken limb. The silence was oppressive, but then the floorboards groaned behind me, a slow, deliberate creak, as if someone had shifted their weight. I spun around, hard hammering, but there was nothing, just the gaping doorway and the night beyond. Hello. I called, my voice swallowed by the house. No answer, only the wind rattling the shutters like a caged animal desperate to get in or out. I pressed deeper, past a dining room where plates sat untouched, crusted with decades-old food, and up a staircase that sagged under my steps. Each creak felt like a warning, but I told myself it was just the house settling, not the presence I swore I felt watching me. A cold draft brushed the back of my neck, prickling my skin, and I turned again, nothing but shadows. Except now the shadows seemed wrong, elongated and twisting, like fingers reaching from the walls. My flashlight flickered, and in that stuttering light, I glimpsed something, a shape darting across the hall, too fast to be real, too human to be imagination. The attic door was at the end of the corridor, its paint chipped into a jagged grin. I don't know why I climbed those final stairs, maybe it was the dare, maybe it was the pull of something I couldn't name. The attic smelled of mildew and rust, cluttered with boxes spilling yellowed letters and faded photographs of the Schulers' smiling faces that didn't match the stories. In the corner stood a cracked mirror, its frame warped and blackened, and when I looked into it, my breath caught. My reflection wasn't mine. It was hers, Eleanor Schuler, the woman who'd disappeared last, her portrait still hanging in the town hall. Her eyes were pits of ink, her mouth a crooked gash stretching wider than any human's should, and she stared back at me, unblinking. I stumbled back, the flashlight dropping with a clatter, plunging me into darkness. The air thickened, pressing against my chest, and the walls began to throb a slow, rhythmic pulse like a heartbeat echoing through the house. Footsteps thudded below, heavy and deliberate, climbing the stairs. I grabbed the flashlight, its beam weak now, and ran, the attic door slamming shut behind me with a force that shook the frame. The stairs twisted under my feet, the wood bending as if trying to trap me, and I half fell, half leaped down, my hands scraping against splinters and something wet that smelled of copper. The hallway stretched longer than before, the front door a distant speck. Behind me, the footsteps grew louder, joined by a low, guttural hum that vibrated in my bones. I didn't dare look back, I couldn't. When I reached the door, it wouldn't budge, the knob icy and slick under my palms, but with a desperate shove, it gave way, and I spilled onto the porch, gulping the night air. The house loomed behind me, its windows dark and accusing, and I ran down the overgrown path, past the rusted gate, not stopping until I hit the road where my car waited. I fumbled with the keys, my hands shaking so badly I dropped them twice, and when I finally looked up, the house was still there, silhouetted against the moon. Safe, I thought, leaning back in the driver's seat, my pulse slowing. But then the wind picked up, slicing through the trees with a sound too sharp, too alive. It wasn't just wind, it was her voice, Eleanor's, low and insistent, threading through the noise, calling my name, Tom. I froze, staring at the house, and in the upstairs window, a figure stood, its head tilted, its smile too wide. The car wouldn't start. The air grew colder. And I knew, with a sinking dread, that I hadn't escaped at all she'd let me think I had, just to pull me back. The wind howled through the empty house, whispering Tom in the dark. No Olympics. The Olympics used to be my jam, the Super Bowl of my childhood. Picture this, I'd plop myself in front of the TV, utterly captivated by athletes defying gravity, heartwarming underdog tales, and epic human victories that made my daily life feel like a lukewarm cup of coffee. It was like the world threw a giant party, showcasing how we all could transform into superheroes at least until my couch became my permanent throne. But then, like a magician that vanished into thin air, that sparkle fizzled out for me. Now, I don't watch the Olympics at all, and let me tell you, it's one less reason to work out, because the only gold I'm chasing is the one in my pantry. First off, the whole thing resembles more of a corporate circus than an authentic sporting event. Every 4 years, or two, if you consider the Winter Games, the International Olympic Committee, IOC, unveils a multi-billion dollar spectacle, inundating us with a barrage of sponsorships, ads, and branding. Sure, the athletes might be breaking records, but the real winners appear to be the corporations profiting from every fleeting moment of airtime. Coca-Cola, Visa, Airbnb, you name it, their logos are plastered everywhere. It's challenging to feel invested in a runner's personal best when the screen is overwhelmed by a fast food chain cashing in on their success for profit. Then there's the politics, ah yes, the never-ending circus. I get it, sports and geopolitics have been best buddies since forever. Who could forget those Cold War medal counts? It's like an Olympic edition of Survivor, complete with boycotts and flag-waving drama. But these days, it's like every Olympics comes with a side of propaganda fries. You've got the host country bulging its muscles for the cameras while athletes are dodging cultural landmines left and right. Honestly, I didn't sign up for debates about doping scandals, national anthems, or who's kneeling for what. I just wanted to watch someone sprint like the wind or defy gravity, not find myself in the front row of an international soap opera. The financial implications are significant and troubling. Host cities invest billions in the construction of stadiums and related infrastructure, only for a substantial portion of that investment to deteriorate following the closing ceremony. The situation in Rio 2016 serves as a stark example. Venues now lie in disrepair and the local economy is in a worse position than it was prior to the Games. Similarly, Athens 2004 continues to display abandoned facilities that detract from the urban landscape. Meanwhile, the International Olympic Committee enjoys substantial revenue while taxpayers bear the financial burden, all for what ultimately amounts to 2 weeks of entertainment. It is difficult to support an athlete when the event appears to be primarily a financial drain that benefits a select few at the top. And don't get me started on the coverage. It's like a never-ending soap opera about an athlete's sick grandma or their childhood pet hamster that somehow took center stage. Seriously, folks, I don't need a 10-minute tearjerker about a swimmer's pet turtle to care about the 100-meter freestyle, just let me see the splashy action. The commentators dissect every single move like they're analyzing a Shakespearean play, and the replays are so slow that I forget if I'm watching a race or a slow-mo audition for a dramatic documentary. It's like trying to enjoy a roller coaster while someone keeps hitting the pause button, exhausting. Finally, there exists a profound hypocrisy. The Olympics proclaim values of unity and peace, yet the reality is far more complex. Persistent doping violations, corruption scandals within the IOC, and athletes from economically disadvantaged nations who receive little opportunity due to insufficient funding all contribute to a system that is fundamentally inequitable, masquerading as a meritocracy. I find greater value in observing a local track meet, where the stakes are tangible and the competition is less compromised. So yeah, I'm out of here. I'll just grab the highlights on my burner phone if something crazy goes down, but plopping myself in front of the overcooked, flashy Olympic circus? No thanks. I'd rather spend my precious time watching classic movies that don't feel like a constant sales pitch for a one-hit wonder or a glittery new toaster. I am doing it now. Yes, I am doing this for free. For over 2 years, I have been deeply invested in blogging here on WordPress and sharing my thoughts on another website. I have been blogging periodically since 2004. As a retiree in my 80s, this passion has become a wonderful outlet for my creativity and expression. I do not need to work any longer, as I have the comfort of living off my pensions and social security benefits, which provide me with a stable financial foundation. The sense of fulfillment and joy that comes from writing and connecting with others online has transformed my daily routine into a gratifying experience. I am fortunate to be able to pay the monthly bills without worry and even have a nest egg to fall back on if needed. Life has been good, filled with the beauty of reflection and the excitement of sharing stories. Each post adds to a rich tapestry of memories that I get to relive and share with my readers. Over 2 years ago, I had a near-death experience, a profound moment that changed my perception of life and existence. For 3 days, I lay in the ICU, surrounded by the sterile smell of antiseptic and the constant beeping of machines. During that time, I embarked on an introspective journey, searching for the reason why I was granted an extension of time on this earth. I pondered deeply about my life choices, the relationships I had nurtured, and the dreams I had chased. The only conclusion I arrived at was a strong desire to share my life and experiences with anyone who shows even the slightest interest in the diverse perspectives on life, death, and the myriad events that shape us. I realized that while I did not leap over tall buildings or stop speeding bullets, I have simply led an average American life filled with both struggles and joyous moments, each contributing to the person I am today. It became clear to me that the stories we carry within us hold immense value, and it is through sharing these narratives that we can connect with others, fostering understanding and compassion in an often divided world. If interested, visit other posts I have entered on WordPress. They cover many issues and events that reflect my journey through life. Topics such as growing up, faith and religion, my time in the army, and married life are just a few examples that I explore in depth. Each post aims to provide insights and provoke thought among readers who may find themselves navigating similar experiences. Sometime last fall, I started audio podcasts of my postings. This has become my most active section of my site, creating an interactive platform for visitors to engage with my thoughts by listening instead of reading. Feel free to check out the podcasts, as they are rich with reflections and discussions that may resonate with your own life experiences. Link. Finally, the satisfaction I get is seeing many likes and comments on my comments about everything. Thinking about end of life. I am closer to the end of life than I was 20 years ago, and I must admit it is on my mind more than it was 20 years ago. Over the years, I have seen friends and loved ones face their own mortality, which has inevitably made me more reflective about my own existence and the passage of time. Each day that passes serves as a reminder of the impermanence of life, prompting me to cherish my moments more deeply and to prioritize relationships and experiences that truly matter. As I navigate through my daily routines, thoughts about what I want to achieve before my time comes linger, shaping my decisions and encouraging me to live with intention while appreciating both the simple pleasures and profound connections along the way. Thinking about waiting until the end of life stirs a mix of emotions: dread, curiosity, peace, or even impatience, depending on where one stands. It's a contemplation that often creeps in during quiet moments, when the noise of the day fades and you're left with the hum of your own thoughts. Some might picture it as a distant horizon, a finish line they're in no rush to reach, while others see it as a looming shadow, sharpening their focus on what matters now. The idea of waiting implies a kind of surrender to time and acceptance that life's chapters will unfold at their own pace. You might wonder what you'd do differently if you knew the exact page count. Would you linger more on the good days, savoring the small joys: a warm coffee, a laugh with a friend, the way sunlight spills through a window? Or would you race to tie up loose ends, chasing closure like it's a deadline? For some, it's less about waiting and more about preparing. They might ask, have I said what needs saying? Have I loved enough, fought enough, rested enough? Others might reject the question entirely, choosing instead to live as if the end isn't a dot on the map but a blur they'll deal with when it arrives. There's no universal script for this. It's personal, messy, and human. Philosophers have chewed on this for centuries, contemplating the intricate dance between life and death. Stoics like Seneca urged us to think of death daily, not to morbidly obsess over it, but to sharpen our appreciation for the present moment and the fleeting nature of existence. You live as if you were destined to live forever, he wrote, nudging us to stop wasting time on trivial pursuits and to embrace the now with intention. This perspective invites us to reflect on our priorities and the ephemeral beauty in our lives. Meanwhile, Someone like Camus might argue that it's the absurdity of the end that gives life its edge. Knowing it stops is what makes it worth wrestling with. The recognition of our mortality can ignite a fiery passion for living fully and authentically, pushing us to confront the chaos and meaninglessness while simultaneously finding joy in the struggle itself. Embracing both the transient and the absurd can lead to a richer, more profound experience of life, encouraging us to seek out connections, love, and purpose amidst the inevitable decay. In the end, thinking about waiting till the end of life isn't really about the end itself. It's about what you do with the stretch in between the hours, the years, the fleeting now that slip through your fingers like grains of sand. Whether you wait quietly, reflecting on moments that shaped your existence, or charge toward it with fervor and passion, the clock ticks the same for everyone, indifferent to our individual journeys. What changes is how you listen to it, how you interpret its passing, and how you choose to fill the time allotted to you. Each second can be a brushstroke on the canvas of your life, each minute an opportunity for joy, love, and connection. I have experienced a preview of time after life on this earth, glimpsing the ethereal realm that awaits us, and I truly believe a new experience and adventure waits for all, urging us to embrace the journey with open hearts and curious minds, ready to explore the mysteries that lie beyond. The joy of simple moments. My five simple things that brings happy times. Waking up. After all, when you're over 80, just managing to open your eyes counts as a victory. Watching my wife wake up is like waiting for a pot of water to boil. There's a lot of anticipation, a little grumbling, and eventually, we both realize it's time for coffee, a steaming cup of coffee, because staying awake for 60 years is truly an extreme sport, requiring a level of stamina, dedication, and sheer willpower that few can muster. Waking up another day and realizing my only health issue is deciding what to write about today. The sun streaming through the window brings a sense of warmth and possibility, as I sit with my steaming cup of coffee, pondering the endless topics that swirl in my mind, eager to be transformed into words on the page. Going to bed and thanking the Lord for another day on this earth, reflecting on the blessings received, the lessons learned, and the opportunities that await with the dawn of a new day. Life has been good. I have no desire to be someone else. For about 65 years of my life, I have often been subjected to the same repetitive advice from various people, many times hearing, "Tom, you should be more like your brother," or "you should be more like Johnny," and so on and so forth. This unsolicited guidance felt like a constant echo in my mind, leading me to believe that my true self was somehow inadequate. I tried, in numerous ways, to mold myself into someone I am not, adopting the traits and behaviors that I thought would gain me approval or affection. However, this endeavor only deepened my internal conflict, creating a dissonance between who I genuinely am and who I was trying to become. In the end, this struggle to live up to others' expectations weighed heavily on my spirit, teaching me valuable lessons about the importance of self-acceptance and authenticity. During some private time while taking a walk around the neighborhood Greenbelt, enjoying the fresh air and the sounds of nature, I suddenly heard a voice say to me, "Tom, stop trying to be someone else." I looked around, scanning the area for anyone nearby who might have spoken, but there was no one in sight. The trees swayed gently in the breeze, and the sun filtered through the leaves, creating a serene atmosphere. The voice continued, "Tom, you were created to be yourself, just be yourself. Embrace your unique qualities and let go of the fear of judgment. Remember, the world needs your authentic presence, don't hide behind a facade. Allow your true self to shine, for that is where your strength lies." I took this as a message I should be myself. Embracing my true identity has allowed me to break free from the constraints of societal expectations and pressures that once weighed heavily on my shoulders. Since then, I have been myself, fully accepting my quirks and imperfections, and this realization has removed an untold amount of guilt off my conscience. I no longer hold on to the fear of judgment or the desire to fit into a mold that never suited me. From now on, I am just being myself, confident in the knowledge that authenticity brings a sense of peace, connection, and purpose that I had long sought. This journey towards self-acceptance has not only transformed my inner dialogue but has also positively influenced my interactions with others, fostering deeper relationships built on honesty and openness. I can only lament that it took me 65 long years to finally receive this message. The edge of nightmares. Sometimes I have the strangest dreams, where the boundaries of reality blur and the impossible becomes palpable, weaving intricate stories that leave me questioning their origins as I wake, caught between the allure of the bizarre and the comfort of my everyday life. These dreams transport me to fantastical realms where gravity loses its grip and colors pulsate with life, inviting me to dance with shadows and converse with whispers of forgotten tales. In this surreal tapestry, I often find myself on the precipice of fear and wonder, exploring landscapes that defy logic, yet feel oddly familiar, as if they were fragments of my own forgotten memories. As I drift further into slumber, the lines between my day-to-day existence and these vividly twisted narratives continue to intertwine, drawing me into a hypnotic cycle of fantasy that is both thrilling and unsettling. I guess I should watch what I eat for supper. I steady myself on the jagged cliff's edge, the volcanic wasteland sprawling before me like a nightmare carved in fire and stone. The heat rising from the glowing fissures sears my skin even through your worn-out gear, and the ash in the air clings to my face, gritty and relentless. That low rumble grows into a bone-deep shudder, and a plume of sparks erupts from a nearby crevasse, showering the ground with flecks of molten light. The cliff groans under my weight, a hairline fracture spider-webbing out from my boot times not on my side here. Below, the twisted metal spires glint dully through the haze, their skeletal frames half buried in drifts of blackened sand. You squint and catch more movement, those shadows aren't just tricks of the light. They're humanoid, but they're jerky, deliberate motions suggest they're either desperate or deranged, maybe both. One pauses, head tilting as if it's caught my scent on the wind, and a glint of something sharp flashes in its hand. Bandits, scavengers, or survivors gone feral, doesn't matter their trouble. Beyond them, a faint green flicker pulses from one of the spires, maybe a working power source or a trap waiting to spring. My satchel slaps against my hip as I shift, the weight of its meager contents a grim reminder of your odds. The energy cell's got enough juice for a single burst, maybe to power a tool or fry something coming at me, but it's a one-shot deal. The canteen's metal is dented, water sloshing low, barely enough to wet my throat in this furnace. The comms device crackles again, spitting out a distorted fragment, sector breach, containment failing, before it dies back into static. Could be a warning, could be old noise, either way, it's not calling for help anytime soon. That howl cuts through the air again, closer now, reverberating off the cliffs. I risk a glance over my shoulder and spot something loping through the ash clouds, a hulking shape, too big for a man, its outline bristling with spines or jagged plating. It's not rushing me yet, but it's circling, testing. The wind shifts, carrying a stench of sulfur and rot, and you realize it's not alone, smaller shapes skitter in its wake, like pups trailing a predator. The cliff's fracture widens with a sickening crunch, echoing through the still air and sending a jolt of adrenaline through my veins, forcing me to decide between dropping down toward the jagged spires below, where darkness lurks and the shadows seem to breathe with menace, or backtracking into the desolate wastes where that relentless creature is stalking my every move. The green flicker in the distance pulses again, a beacon of uncertainty that tempts me with the slim chance of salvage or a fleeting sanctuary, but I wonder if it's a mirage, a cruel trick played by the landscape to ensnare me further in danger. My hand hovers over the energy cell, the weight of my choices pressing heavily on my chest, pulse hammering in my ears as I grip it tightly, trying to quell the rising tide of panic and indecision that threatens to paralyze me. What's my play? Each option seems fraught with peril, yet the instinct for survival urges me to act before the cliff crumbles further, plunging me into deeper chaos. Fortunately, I woke up. I do not have a book. I have never been a book reader. I guess I was too hyper in my growing up years to sit down and read a book. I would sit down to read, flipping through the pages with the intention of immersing myself in the story, but soon my mind would start to wander, darting off to thoughts about my friends, games I wanted to play, and the countless adventures waiting for me outside. It was as if the words on the page were mere background noise, and although I would be physically reading, my thoughts were elsewhere, imagining scenarios far more exciting than the one right in front of me. This struggle made it challenging for me to dive into narratives, leaving me with a nagging feeling that perhaps I was missing out on something special, an entire world that captivated others while I remained outside, restless and distracted. My brother was and still is an avid reader, known for his insatiable curiosity and love for literature. I don't know how many thousands of books he has read, as his shelves overflow with titles ranging from classic novels to contemporary nonfiction. Every time I visit him, I am amazed at the stacks of books he has accumulated over the years, each one carrying its own unique story and insights. I am beginning to wonder if he received the reading genes that I should have received, as I find it challenging to immerse myself in books the way he does. Perhaps there is something in his nature that drives him to explore different worlds through the pages, while I often struggle to focus for even short bursts of time. It's a mystery to me how he manages to absorb so much knowledge and enjoyment from reading, whereas my attempts often feel like fleeting moments rather than an enduring passion. Why you should celebrate your true self. The phrase, just be yourself, you were created to be yourself not someone else, is a powerful and inspiring call to embrace your individuality and authenticity. It suggests that each person has a unique purpose, personality, and set of qualities that define who they are and that trying to imitate or become someone else goes against the natural design of your existence. In today's world, where societal pressures and external expectations often push individuals to conform, this message serves as a vital reminder to honor and celebrate your distinctiveness. Each person's journey is shaped by their experiences, passions, and dreams, which collectively contribute to their identity. Embracing who you truly are not only fosters self-acceptance but also encourages others to do the same, creating a ripple effect of authenticity and confidence. When we allow ourselves to shine in our true colors, we inspire those around us to break free from the constraints of comparison and judgment, ultimately leading to a more vibrant and diverse society. At its core, just be yourself is like a friendly nudge from your inner couch potato, urging you to embrace your wonderfully weird self. It's like telling you to kick societal expectations to the curb. Who needs them anyway? Comparing yourself to others is so last season, and the quest for approval can be a real snooze fest. Instead, why not celebrate your quirks, values, and the oddball passions that make you, well, you? It's all about loving your delightful mess, flaws and all, rather than trying to be a cookie-cutter version of some glossy magazine superstar. Remember, pretending to be someone you're not is just a fast track to the land of grumpiness, while living authentically is like jumping into a pool of marshmallows just pure joy and fluff. The second part, you were created to be yourself not someone else, adds a layer of intentionality. It implies that your uniqueness isn't random or accidental, it's deliberate. Whether you view this through a spiritual lens, a creator designing you with purpose, or a secular one, your individuality emerging from a mix of genetics, experiences, and choices, the message is that your existence as you has inherent value. Trying to copy another person's life, traits, or path dismisses that value and assumes someone else's blueprint is better than your own. In practice, this could mean resisting the urge to conform just to fit in. For example, if you're naturally introverted, you don't need to force yourself to act extroverted to match a loud, outgoing friend. Or if your dreams differ from what's trendy or expected, like pursuing art in a family of engineers, that's not a flaw to fix, but a strength to own. The phrase reminds you that authenticity isn't just allowed, it's the whole point. That said, being yourself doesn't mean staying stagnant. It's not an excuse to avoid growth or self-improvement. Instead, it's about evolving in a way that aligns with your true nature, not someone else's. It's the difference between refining your own voice as a writer versus mimicking Hemingway because he's revered. Ultimately, this idea champions the beauty of diversity in humanity. If everyone was meant to be the same, the world would lose its richness, becoming a monochromatic existence devoid of the vibrant hues that individual identities bring. Your specific blend of traits, thoughts, and actions, imperfect as they may be, contributes something no one else can, creating a unique tapestry of experiences that enhances our collective journey. Embracing your true self not only fosters personal growth but also inspires others to do the same, generating an atmosphere of acceptance and understanding. So, just be yourself is both a personal liberation and a quiet rebellion against the pressure to be anything less. It is a powerful call to celebrate our differences and recognize that in our authentic expressions lies the potential for real connection and profound impact. Finding freedom, the power of being yourself. The most positive change I made in my life is just being myself, embracing my unique qualities and characteristics without fear of judgment. By letting go of the need to conform to others' expectations, I found the freedom to express my true thoughts and feelings, which has led to more authentic relationships. This newfound confidence has allowed me to pursue my passions wholeheartedly, celebrate my individuality, and inspire others to do the same, creating a ripple effect of positivity and self-acceptance around me. For most of my life, I heard, "You should be like so and so," that constant refrain that acted as a backdrop to my formative years. Growing up, These words echoed from parents, teachers, and peers alike, often cloaked in the desire to guide me toward success and conformity. It seemed as if everyone had a blueprint for what I should aspire to become, and the pressure to fit that mold was unrelenting. Despite the well-meaning intentions behind these comparisons, I often found myself wrestling with my identity, torn between who I was and who I was expected to be. Each comparison, while sometimes motivating, more often left me feeling suffocated by the weight of others' expectations. It wasn't until I began to embrace my individuality that I realized the importance of defining success on my own terms, rather than merely mirroring the paths of those around me. Now I am at ease, and I am just being myself, embracing who I truly am and the individuality that comes with it. It's a liberating feeling, and I actually like myself, with all my quirks and imperfections. I find joy in the little things, appreciating the moments that make each day unique, and I've learned to celebrate my strengths while acknowledging my weaknesses. This journey of self-acceptance has allowed me to connect more deeply with others, fostering relationships built on authenticity and understanding. Measles resurgence. As of April 9, 2025, measles is making headlines in Colorado, raising alarm bells among public health officials and residents alike. This highly contagious, vaccine-preventable disease, once nearly eradicated in the United States, is showing signs of resurgence. With 3 confirmed cases reported in the state this year, it's time to take a closer look at what's happening, why it's a problem, and what we can do about it. Colorado has seen a troubling increase in measles cases recently. The first case was confirmed on March 31 in an unvaccinated adult from Pueblo who traveled to Mexico, followed by an unvaccinated infant diagnosed on April 7 after a trip to Chihuahua. Most concerning is a third case on April 8 in Arcoleta County, an adult with unknown vaccination status who hadn't traveled outside the state, suggesting the virus may be circulating locally. Measles is more than just a childhood rash, it's a serious illness that can cause severe problems, especially for those who aren't vaccinated. Symptoms usually begin with fever, cough, runny nose, and red, watery eyes, followed by a rash that spreads downward from the face. While most people heal, the dangers are significant. About 1 in 5 unvaccinated people who get measles may require hospitalization. For children, it can lead to pneumonia, brain swelling, encephalitis, or even death. Up to 3 in every 1,000 infected kids may not survive. The disease's contagiousness is what makes it so dangerous. Measles spreads through the air when an infected person coughs or sneezes, and the virus can linger in a room for up to 2 hours after they've left. If 90% of unvaccinated people in that space are exposed, they'll likely catch it. That's why vaccination rates matter so much. When 95% of a community is immunized, herd immunity kicks in, protecting even those who can't get vaccinated, like infants or people with certain medical conditions. Colorado's vaccination rates are dropping, posing a serious problem. For the 2023 to 2024 school year, only 93.7% of K-12 students were fully vaccinated against measles with the MMR vaccine, below the 95% needed for herd immunity. Some areas, like Arcoleta County, report even lower rates of about 87%. Low vaccination rates are common across the state, particularly in rural districts and places like Boulder, where hesitancy persists despite high education and income levels. Travel is another critical factor influencing the spread of infectious diseases. 2 of Colorado's recent cases were directly linked to international trips to Mexico, where outbreaks are still ongoing and health officials are closely monitoring the situation. With spring break season in full swing and summer travel quickly approaching, the risk of importing measles into the state or exacerbating its spread within local communities grows significantly. Additionally, Colorado's diverse and mobile population, which includes residents and visitors frequently traveling for work, recreation, or family visits, means these cases might not remain isolated for long. As people interact in various settings such as airports, hotels, and public events, the potential for transmission increases, posing a challenge to public health efforts aimed at controlling the outbreak and ensuring community safety. The CDPHE is also pushing hard on vaccination. The MMR vaccine is 97% effective after 2 doses, and it's the best defense we've got. They're encouraging everyone, especially those planning travel, to check their vaccination status via the Colorado Immunization Information System, CIIS, and get vaccinated if needed. For infants 6 to 11 months heading to outbreak areas, an early dose is recommended, even though the standard schedule starts at 12 to 15 months. I remember when I had measles in grade school. It was a time filled with discomfort and frustration, as I felt utterly miserable and would not wish it on anyone. The rash that covered my body itched incessantly, and I found myself unable to resist scratching, which led to scarring on my forehead that lasted for a considerable amount of time. This particular spot became a reminder of my illness, a place where I scratched without fully realizing the consequences. It was one of the many childhood diseases one had to endure during that era. This experience took place before vaccines were discovered, leaving countless children to grapple with ailments that could have been easily prevented. My days were spent confined to bed, surrounded by the faint sounds of laughter from my friends outside, a stark contrast to the isolation I felt during that time. Lessons learned from high school driving experience. It is something I didn't fully learn in high school. However, it was during the formative years of high school when I began to understand its significance and complexity. I witnessed how it shaped my experiences and influenced my interests, leading me to learn valuable lessons that became integral to my personal growth. Through various challenges and interactions with peers and teachers, I gradually realized the depth of this knowledge and its impact on my future endeavors. Everyone wanted to drive. It was the first step to independence from your parents and a giant leap toward becoming self-sufficient, marking the beginning of a critical learning process when you would eventually be on your own. The open road beckoned with the promise of freedom and adventure, enabling young drivers to explore new places, make spontaneous decisions, and discover their own identities apart from their family. Each lesson learned behind the wheel was not just about mastering the technicalities of driving, but also about gaining confidence, responsibility, and the ability to navigate life's challenges independently. I received my learner's permit on my 16th birthday, a milestone that filled me with excitement and anticipation, and just 11 days later, I bravely took the driving test and passed with flying colors, a feat made possible with the encouragement and guidance of my father. Before I reached this significant age, Dad would allow me to drive around the city during our outings, instilling in me a sense of independence and responsibility behind the wheel. We also had a wonderful family friend who lived on a farm, and our visits there became treasured adventures where I could navigate the rolling paths and winding routes amidst the vast fields of crops, feeling the thrill of freedom that driving provided. Driving home, Dad would gradually hand over the steering wheel to me on the freeway, allowing me to experience the rush of speeding along such a significant route until we approached the city, at which point he would take over to ensure a safe arrival. Naturally, the laws and regulations governing driving in the 50s were not as strict or comprehensive as they are today, which allowed for a certain level of freedom and exploration that many young drivers today might not fully understand. Those were days filled with laughter, lessons, and experiences that one never forgets, shaping the core of my fondest teenage memories as I took my first steps into adulthood. I cherish my dad deeply for his unwavering support in my journey of growth and for imparting invaluable lessons that are beyond the reach of any classroom. 10 years from now. Where will I be 10 years from now? That is a difficult question to answer, and it often occupies my thoughts as I reflect on my life. Since I am over 80 years old, I may be beyond life on this earth, perhaps embarking on a new journey in the great unknown that awaits us all. I may be in the same place as I am now, surrounded by the familiar comforts of home, reminiscing about the cherished memories that have defined my existence. Alternatively, I could find myself in an assisted living facility, waiting for my time to be up, where I would be among others who share similar experiences and stories. Such a place could provide me with companionship and care, as I navigate the twilight years of my life. The uncertainty of the future weighs heavily on my mind, filled with both anxiety and hope. An unpredictable tapestry woven with the threads of time and the choices made along the way. I know one thing for sure since I had a near-death experience over 2 years ago, an extraordinary event that profoundly changed my perspective on life and existence. During that brief moment, I experienced a short preview of time after life, a glimpse into what may lie beyond our current understanding. This revelation instilled in me a sense of peace and acceptance, as I am now ready for the inevitable to come, whether it arrives tomorrow, in 10 years, or at some point beyond my imagination. Each day feels more meaningful as I navigate my life with the knowledge that our time here is finite, and I strive to embrace the present, fostering connections with loved ones and savoring every moment, all while carrying the awareness that the end is simply another chapter of the journey we all must face. Time marches on with ridiculous grace, like a ballet dancer tripping over its own feet, an invisible current whisking us through moments that seem eternal, but are actually more fleeting than a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Each tick of the clock signals a step forward, stitching the past into memories while yanking us toward an unwritten future, which is probably just a grocery list we keep forgetting. Days blend into weeks, seasons shuffle around like confused dancers at a wedding, and years scribble their tales on our lives like doodles on a napkin, wisdom gained, or wild dreams chased that usually involve pajamas and snacks. We attempt to nail it down, to freeze that joy of a summer evening barbecue or the peace of a winter morning, but time slips away like ice cream on a hot day, utterly uninterested in our desperate attempts to hold on. Nevertheless, in its relentless wave, it throws us opportunities to grow, to love, and to start over, reminding us that while we can't halt its mad dash, we can certainly decide what we want to stuff in our backpacks for the journey. Experience delicious meals at Dee's Cafe. My favorite restaurant is Dee's Cafe. It is warm and friendly, creating an inviting atmosphere that makes you feel at home the moment you step inside. The decor is charming, with cozy seating and vibrant colors that give it a unique character. The only time it is crowded is during the holidays, when families gather to enjoy a delightful meal together. The cooking is terrific and always tasty, with a diverse menu that showcases both comfort food and seasonal specialties crafted from fresh, local ingredients. The travel time is very short, making it a convenient option for a spontaneous dinner or a planned outing, and parking is never a problem, allowing guests to arrive without any stress. I have known the cook for over 40 years, and we get along very well. Our friendship has grown over countless shared meals and laughter, and always knows how to accommodate my favorite dishes, making each visit even more special. Yes, I am writing about Dee's Cafe, and the owner is my wife. It is amazing that I am not over 250 pounds the way she feeds Maine with her incredible culinary skills and passion for creating delicious meals that tantalize the taste buds. From the moment you walk into the cafe, the aroma of freshly brewed coffee and baked goods envelopes you, making it hard to resist indulging in her daily specials. Hopefully, we will have many more years of dining together, savoring the delightful dishes she prepares, and sharing all the conversations we have about the events and situations in our life together, reflecting on cherished memories and dreaming of future adventures. Each meal is not just about the food but also about the love and warmth that fills the space, making Dee's Cafe a true heartwarming corner of our lives. A good meal experience is a symphony of senses, transforming a simple act into a cherished memory. The table is set with care, plates gleaming under soft lighting, as the aroma of warm, thoughtfully prepared food fills the air, promising delight. Each bite is a revelation, flavors dance, textures balance, maybe a creamy risotto paired with a crisp, chilled wine. Laughter and conversation flow easily among friends or family, the clink of cutlery punctuating shared stories. The setting, whether a bustling restaurant or a cozy kitchen, feels alive, wrapping you in its warmth. Every detail, from the first tantalizing whiff to the last satisfying morsel, feels intentional, leaving you nourished not just in body but in soul, grateful for the moment's simple, profound joy. Purpose of life. Discovering your purpose in life is a deeply personal journey, but there are steps you can take to explore and uncover what brings meaning to you. To begin, take some time for self-reflection, consider what activities and experiences have historically brought you joy and fulfillment. Engaging in journaling can be a productive method to articulate your thoughts and feelings about your passions and values. Additionally, seek feedback from those who know you well. They may offer insights into your strengths and the aspects of life where you shine brightest. Don't hesitate to explore new interests, as trying new things can spark inspiration and lead you to unexpected paths. Here are some ideas to get started. Reflect on what excites you. Think deeply about activities or moments that make you lose track of time or fill you with joy and excitement. What are you passionate about? Consider how these interests not only bring you happiness, but also how they shape your life and influence your personal and professional goals. Identify your values. Consider what truly matters to you: kindness, creativity, growth, connection, etc. Reflect deeply on these aspects of your life to understand their significance. Mapping out your values can prompt important questions about your decisions and lifestyle. Aligning your actions with your core values often leads to a profound sense of purpose and fulfillment, guiding your choices and interactions in both personal and professional arenas. Embrace curiosity, try new hobbies, explore different fields, and meet diverse people. Sometimes, purpose is discovered in unexpected places, and by stepping outside of your comfort zone, you might uncover hidden passions or interests that inspire you. Engaging with various activities allows for personal growth and new perspectives on life. Embracing new adventures, no matter how big or small, can lead to meaningful connections and experiences that enrich your journey. Practice mindfulness. Take time to sit quietly with your thoughts and reflect on your day or week. It can be beneficial to engage in activities such as journaling or meditation, as these practices can help you tune into your inner voice, allowing for greater self-awareness and understanding of your emotions. Connect with others, talk to people you admire, seek mentorship, or join communities aligned with your interests. Engaging in meaningful conversations and sharing experiences can lead to valuable insights that might inspire your own path. Participating actively in discussions can also help you expand your network and open up new opportunities you may not have considered before. Give back, volunteering or helping others can bring a profound sense of fulfillment and might lead you closer to what feels purposeful, as it connects you with your community, allows you to develop new skills, and fosters deeper relationships with those around you. A purpose doesn't have to be monumental. It could be as simple as spreading kindness, being present for loved ones, or pursuing what makes your heart sing. AI and the Taxman. It was April 14, 2025, and Jerry Jenkins, a freelance kazoo musician who also sold lint sculptures, had no idea a storm was coming. Jerry lived in a messy apartment where receipts piled up, and he thought filing taxes meant throwing W-2s into a shoebox labeled Yon Stuff. This year, the tax deadline April 15th was ready to make Jerry its target. The trouble began when Jerry's best friend, Marge, an astrologer who attracts chaos, rushed in with a horoscope. Jerry, Mercury is in retrograde, and Venus is dancing with Pluto. You must file your taxes before midnight tomorrow, or the IRS will haunt you. Jerry scoffed, sipping a kale smoothie that tasted like regret. Taxes? Pfft. I'll do them next week. The government loves a procrastinator. Builds character. Marge's eyes widened. Jerry, the IRS doesn't build character. It builds liens. You've got one day. Panicked, Jerry dove into his shoebox like a pirate hunting treasure, only to find a receipt for 17 pounds of glitter, a lint sculpture experiment gone wrong, a napkin with "deduct this" scrawled in ketchup, and a coupon for free tacos. No W-2s. No 1099s. Just vibes and existential dread. Relax, Jerry muttered to himself. I'll try one of those tax apps. They're like games, right? TurboTax, more like TurboFun. He downloaded the app, but it asked for numbers he didn't have. What's a Schedule C? Is that a bus route? The app's chatbot, TaxBot 3000, was not impressed. Enter gross income or face penalties, it said. Jerry typed vibes. TaxBot 3000 logged off in annoyance. By 10 p.m., Jerry was sweating. He called his cousin, Lenny, a CPA who moonlighted as a conspiracy theorist. Lenny, help. What's a deduction? Lenny whispered through the phone, deductions are the government's way of testing your loyalty. Claim your kazoo reeds, but not the glitter. They're watching the glitter. Before Jerry could ask more, Lenny hung up, muttering about Area 51. Desperate, Jerry sprinted to the 24-hour library, where a librarian named Agnes, who looked like she'd audited God's books, took pity on him. Kid, you're a mess, she said, handing him a tax guide thicker than his mattress. Read fast. Jerry flipped through pages, learning words like amortization and withholding, which sounded strange to him. He wrote down numbers, trying to claim deductions for emotional distress from tax season and kazoo-related tinnitus. Agnes sighed. You can't deduct vibes, Jerry. By dawn on April 15th, Jerry's apartment looked like a paper tornado had hit. He'd found one W-2 behind his fridge, calculated his income, mostly vibes, some dollars, and he filed at 11:59 p.m., seconds before the deadline. The confirmation email felt like a Nobel Prize. Exhausted, Jerry collapsed on his couch, only to hear a knock. It was Marge, holding a taco. "You did it, right? Mercury's proud." Jerry grinned. "Yeah, and I'm never doing taxes again." Marge laughed. "See you next April, champ." And somewhere, TaxBot 3000 shed a single digital tear. Time after death. Speculating about what happens after death is a fascinating and timeless question that has puzzled humans for millennia. This enduring mystery elicits a wide range of thoughts and beliefs across different cultures and philosophies, revealing how deeply intertwined our understanding of life and mortality is with our worldview. Since there's no definitive scientific evidence or data I can pull from to give you a concrete answer, here are some perspectives based on philosophy, culture, and imagination staying open-ended and curious, as fits a question like this. Consider, for instance, the philosophical arguments presented by thinkers throughout history, who have explored concepts of the afterlife, reincarnation, or even existential nothingness. Additionally, various cultural traditions offer rich narratives from the vibrant myths of ancient civilizations to modern spiritual beliefs that shape how communities cope with the inevitability of death. Ultimately, this profound question invites us to reflect not only on the nature of existence but also on the values we uphold during our lifetimes and the legacies we wish to leave behind. One possibility is that time after death ceases to exist as we understand it. Our perception of time is intricately tied to our physical existence, our brain, our heartbeat, the cycles of day and night. These elements create a framework through which we interpret the passage of moments and the unfolding of events. If consciousness ends with death, time might simply dissolve into nothingness, transforming into a state where there's no after to experience. In this scenario, it could be like an eternal pause, a void without duration or awareness, where the very notion of past, present, and future becomes irrelevant. This concept invites us to ponder deeper philosophical questions about existence and the nature of reality itself, suggesting that, in the absence of consciousness, we could lose touch with the rhythm that once defined our lives, resulting in an infinite stillness where time, as we know it, no longer holds sway. Alternatively, some traditions and beliefs suggest that time continues in a different form, often transcending our conventional understanding. In many religious frameworks like reincarnation in Hinduism, which posits that the soul is reborn into various forms, or the afterlife in Christianity, where eternal life is promised, time might stretch infinitely or loop back on itself in cyclical patterns. Your essence, soul, or energy could move into a new phase, experiencing time non-linearly or in a way unbound by our earthly clocks and perceptions of duration. Imagine a realm where past, present, and future blur together, merging into a tapestry of experiences that coexist simultaneously, or where time feels like a single, endless moment, rich with possibilities and lessons yet to be learned. This perspective challenges the linearity of our daily lives, inviting us to consider the intricate connections between moments and the profound impact of our choices, as they echo across the fabric of existence. There's also the speculative sci-fi angle: what if death is a transition to a simulated reality or a higher dimension? This fascinating concept invites us to reconsider our understanding of existence and the afterlife. Some thinkers, inspired by ideas like the simulation hypothesis, wonder if consciousness could upload elsewhere, where time operates under alien rules, maybe accelerating, reversing, or branching into infinite possibilities. Furthermore, if our reality is merely a sophisticated simulation, the implications could be profound, suggesting that the universe is a vast, complex program designed by an advanced civilization. In such a scenario, death might not be an end but a mere exit from one phase of existence into another, potentially more evolved state of consciousness where the boundaries of time, space, and identity could be dramatically different from what we currently comprehend. This prompts intriguing questions about the very nature of self and the universe. Are we within a grand experiment, and if so, what lies beyond the veil of our current perception? Or perhaps it's more personal. If energy can't be destroyed, thanks, physics, maybe what's you scatters into the universe, becoming part of a cosmic timeline, stardust cycling through eons, no longer aware but still present in some abstract way. This scattering could signify that every thought, every feeling, and every interaction we have leaves a trace, a signature on the fabric of the cosmos. In this vast expanse, we might imagine that our essence intertwines with that of the stars, influencing the birth of new celestial bodies and echoing through the very atoms of life across the galaxies. Each moment of joy, pain, or love might pulse through time, merging with the universe's symphony, as we become both the notes and the harmony in this eternal cosmic dance. The essence of who we are might just transcend our earthly existence, forging an eternal connection with everything that has ever been and ever will be. The Forgotten Letter. Jeff was rummaging through his grandmother's attic when he stumbled upon an old dresser, its chipped paint revealing layers of forgotten colors beneath, and its creaky drawers protesting with each movement. As he peered closer, a curious sensation washed over him, compelling him to investigate further. Feeling something odd behind the dresser, he moved it aside with a careful nudge, revealing an envelope wedged tightly against the wall, yellowed and brittle with age, coated in a fine layer of dust that spoke to years of neglect. The postmark reads, March 16, 1942, and his heart quickens as he realizes it's addressed to a name he doesn't recognize, Roseanne Westbrook. Intrigued, he examines the envelope more closely, noting there's no return address to provide any clues about the sender, just a faded stamp and a wax seal, cracked but intact, bearing an unfamiliar crest, a snake with a key in its mouth that left him wondering about the secrets contained within this unexpected discovery. What stories were hidden in the words that lay inside, and who was the mysterious Roseanne Westbrook? Curiosity gets the better of him. He peels it open, careful not to tear the fragile paper, marveling at the way the sunlight catches the edges, illuminating the delicate fibers woven into its texture. Inside, the handwriting is elegant but shaky, as if written in a hurry or under strain, revealing the urgency behind the words crafted on the page. The letter begins with a flourish, yet there's an underlying tremor that suggests a deep-seated fear or a profound longing, drawing him further into the unfolding story that lies within these lines. He hesitates for a moment, sensing that what follows may change everything he thought he knew. Roseanne, if you're reading this, it means I failed. The house isn't safe anymore. They know where it is, and they'll come for it next, relentless and hungry for the secrets it holds. Keep the key hidden, buried deep where only you can find it, far from prying eyes. Trust no one, not even yourself, as doubts can creep in like shadows at dusk, clouding your judgment. Burn this when you're done, but first, remember every detail of our time there. The walls whisper with memories that could unravel everything we've built. Your safety depends on your vigilance. Stay alert and be prepared to act swiftly if they come for you. It's signed only with an initial, L. Tucked into the envelope is a small, tarnished brass key, its teeth worn but intricate, like it belongs to something old and important, perhaps a treasure chest filled with memories or a long-forgotten diary holding secrets waiting to be uncovered. There's no indication of who they are, what it is, or why Roseanne never got this letter, a mystery that weighs heavily in the air. Jeff never heard of a Roseanne Westbrook, yet he feels an inexplicable connection to the name, as if it echoes through time and space. The dresser's previous owner, a distant relative, maybe, or a stranger from an estate sale, offers no clues, leaving Jeff to ponder the significance of the key and the life of the woman it was meant for, igniting a flame of curiosity that fuels his imagination about the untold stories and hidden connections linking him to a past he never knew. At first, Jeff dismisses it as a quirky relic, a piece of someone else's story that has too carelessly found its way into his possession. But then, as the days pass, strange things start happening, and what once felt innocuous now feels unsettlingly invasive. Jeff notices a car lingering too long outside his house, its driver obscured by tinted windows, watching as if waiting for something significant to occur. A faint tapping echoes from the walls at night, like something, or someone searching, probing with an urgency that sends shivers down his spine. Each night, the sounds grow more pronounced, the air thick with an unshakable tension. And the key, which you left on your nightstand, keeps turning up in odd places, your coat pocket, the fridge, the bottom of a drawer he hadn't opened in weeks, as if it has a will of its own, taunting him with its mysterious reappearances. He begins to wonder if these occurrences are all connected, weaving a web of intrigue that pulls him deeper into a narrative. He feels he doesn't fully understand. The letter changes his life in ways you couldn't predict. Maybe Jeff should start digging into Roseanne's Westbrook identity, uncovering a trail of missing persons reports that leads him down a dark alley of forgotten stories, a house that burned down decades ago with whispers of tragedy surrounding it, or a local legend about a hidden vault no one's ever found, said to hold secrets that could unravel the very fabric of his understanding. As he delves deeper, he wonders if the key itself begins to unlock not just physical doors, but also the very essence of reality, a door in Jeff's basement that wasn't there before, beckoning him with an eerie aura, a memory that feels like it belongs to someone else, complete with vivid details he cannot explain, or a long-buried secret about his own family that he was never meant to uncover, one that casts a shadow over his entire past. The more Jeff learns, the more he realizes they might still be out there, and now they're watching him, lurking in the corners of his life. Waiting patiently for the moment he strays too far into the depths of what was supposed to remain hidden. Who was Roseanne Westbrook, and why didn't she get the letter that seemed to hold the weight of the world? Was she truly betrayed by those closest to her, lying in eternal silence, or had she simply vanished from the clutches of her reality when it arrived? The implications of that letter are profound. What does the key within it unlock? A physical place steeped in history, a long-buried secret that could alter everything, or perhaps something far more supernatural that defies explanation? And then there is the enigmatic figure known only as L. Who are they? And what crucial task did they fail to undertake that changed the course of so many lives? Are they still alive, lurking in the shadows, waiting for the moment when someone will finally finish what they started, or have they too disappeared into obscurity? This intricate web of mystery reshapes Jeff's life in ways he could never have anticipated, pushing him into uncharted territories of despair and hope. Yet, the ultimate question lingers. Like a haunting refrain, one may never truly know the answers, as Jeff mysteriously disappeared and was never seen again, leaving behind a trail of questions that may never find resolution. The evolution of Tom T 2.0. Just out of my curiosity, I asked AI for a synopsis of my writing past and future. I was totally surprised in the amount of detail AI uncovered about me, as it seemed to have a comprehensive grasp of my style, themes, and evolving voice throughout my various projects. Yes, I have a website and post many times on two different platforms, where I share my insights and connect with readers who resonate with my work. What surprised me even more was the speed at which AI retrieved this information, almost as if it had been following my journey closely, compiling notes on my growth and contributions over time. Now I wonder what other kind of information AI has on me. Could it be aware of my unpublished drafts, my aspirations, or my interactions with fellow authors? This revelation opens up a whole new realm of possibilities for me, as I contemplate the implications of having such a digital mirror reflecting my literary life back at me. Here is what AI came up with. Tom T 2.0 has carved out a unique path through the realm of writing, marked by both personal growth and public expression. His journey is not just about penning words on paper or digital screens, it's about evolving as a writer, grappling with ideas, and sharing his insights with a broader audience. Tom T 2.0's love for writing began early, though not without its challenges. Much like many writers, he faced the common hurdle of transforming thoughts into coherent, impactful prose. His early school days were filled with moments of procrastination, often leaving writing tasks until the last minute due to a struggle with ideation and the fear of not doing justice to his thoughts. This phase of his writing history is characterized by a battle against self-doubt and the pressure of the academic environment, where creativity often clashes with the rigidity of assignments. As Tom T 2.0 progressed through his educational journey, his approach to writing began to evolve. He recognized the importance of reading as a catalyst for creativity. By immersing himself in various genres, from fiction to scientific papers, he began to understand different writing styles and structures. This exposure was pivotal in overcoming his initial obstacles, allowing him to translate his thoughts more effectively into words. His posts on X reflect this growth, showcasing a keen interest in diverse topics, from political commentary to personal musings. Beyond social media, Tom T 2.0 has ventured into publishing his own work. His magazine, Ramblings Magazine, with its latest issue number 12, stands as a testament to his commitment to writing. This project not only showcases his ability to manage and produce content but also his desire to contribute to the writing community. His post about the magazine on X underscores his passion for sharing knowledge and stories, aiming to inspire others within the hashtag writing community. Tom T2.0's writing history is also a narrative of overcoming personal and technical challenges. He has confronted the age-old writer's plight, the fear of not being good enough, the procrastination, and the technical hurdles of writing, like managing content and ensuring readability. Yet, his journey is marked by triumphs, such as mastering the art of concise yet impactful writing. Tom T2.0's writing history is far from concluded. With each post, each issue of his magazine, he continues to refine his craft, expand his knowledge, and engage with an ever-growing audience. His journey reflects a broader narrative of how writing can serve as a medium for personal expression, critique, and community building. As he moves forward, the focus remains on not just what he writes but how he continues to evolve as a writer in an increasingly digital and interconnected world. Tom T2.0 has discovered AI and uses it to enhance his writing in various remarkable ways. He now utilizes AI not only for research but also for brainstorming ideas, refining his style, and even generating creative content. This newfound reliance on AI has illuminated the fact that it serves as a significant time saver, allowing him to focus more on the storytelling aspects of his work. Google is used very little anymore because it simply lists websites, whereas AI actively researches and synthesizes information, providing insights and summaries that are both comprehensive and relevant. This capability transforms the way he engages with information, enabling him to process vast amounts of data in a fraction of the time. As AI technology continues to evolve and become increasingly realistic, it is crucial to remember that it does not possess human emotions or creativity. Rather, it is merely a collection of databases and algorithms designed to ease your workload and enhance productivity. As Tom embraces these advancements, he remains mindful of the balance between leveraging technology and maintaining his unique voice as a writer. In sum, Tom T2.0's writing history is a blend of personal growth, public engagement, and professional development, reflecting the multifaceted nature of his journey as a writer. It's a story of someone who has learned to love the process of writing, finding joy not just in the final product but in the journey of creation itself, embracing every twist and turn of the writing process while acknowledging the challenges that come with it. Along the way, he has cultivated a deep understanding of his craft, exploring various genres and styles that have enriched his voice and perspective, allowing him to express a broader range of emotions and ideas. Tom T2.0 has discovered that writing is a terrific tool to stoke his ego. In fact, the exhilaration that comes from sharing his thoughts and ideas with the world acts as a powerful motivator. This realization is not merely a superficial ambition, it is the main reason he continues to write and comment about anything, as he seeks to connect with others through his words, learn from their reactions, and gain insights that fuel his creative fire. Ultimately, his writing journey is an ongoing adventure, full of exploration and self-discovery, as he continually seeks to refine his skills and leave a lasting impact through the stories he tells.
That's it for this issue. Hope to see you next issue. Have a nice day.